Blog Talk Radio.
Here comes the speed. Here comes the rumble. Here comes the crowd. Here comes the Auto Club 400 weekend, March 18th to 20th. 3 full days of intense NASCAR action.
3 car breakaway up at the front.
Plus live music, extreme stunt shows, and more. Here comes the room. For tickets and more information, visit AutoClubSpeedway.com or call 800-944-RACE.
Live from Talladega, you're in the pit stop with Tenda Spain and Stephen Wilson on the Speedway Digest Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, and your Apple Podcast.
Hey folks, Timothy Peters, driver of the number 17 Red Horse Racing Toyota Tundra. You're listening to the Pit Stop with Tim DeSpain.
Good evening from Dagger Nation. I'm Tim DeSpain, alongside my good friend, CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com, Mr. Stephen Wilson. Stephen, how you doing tonight, bud? Can you hear me, Stephen?
Hey, how you doing? I'm doing all right over here. It's a little bit warmer up here again this week, so getting a little bit warmer and warmer, and the spring is finally coming through up here.
Sounds good, Steve. Let's get warmer and warmer here, too. And I want to apologize for our listeners about Megan Thomas. They're doing their Storm Alert tour every Tuesday night. They're going around cities here in the state of Alabama. But we will get ABC 33 for you, meteorologist Megan Thomas, back on the show as soon as they get done with that. Steven, let's bring Reverend Joe in, and let's get everything going. We got a big show. The number to call in is 215-383-3681. Our guest at the bottom of the hour, we have President of Auto Club Speedway, Mr. Dave Allen. And at the top of the hour, we have driver of the number 16, Lily's Diabetes Mustang. I'm trying to Ford Mustang and NASCAR Xfinity Series, Mr. Ryan Reed. Let's bring Spring Reverend Joe in the pit stop with Tim DeSpain and Stephen Wilson. Reverend Joe, how you doing tonight, bud? I know you and Miss Betty, y'all been on the big West Coast swing these past couple of weeks.
Yep, we're a bit tired and a bit beat, but we're going to get caught up here and onward and onward. It's been interesting. It's been fun. It's been a little crazy, but we're getting there.
That sounds good, Reverend Joe. You got the floor. Let's get everything going. Get the indication going, bud. We got a big show.
All righty. Lord, we come before you tonight, and we thank you so much for the fact that we have a big show, that you've helped us to grow and get to where we want to be. So please bless all of our racers, all of our troops, all of their families, everyone who wears a uniform to protect us. Bless all the racers all over the country that race all kinds of race cars, and bless our show tonight, and be with us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, Reverend Jeff.
Woo!
Woo!
Thank you.
as always. I say it every week, and I'll say it again this week. Awesome invocation. You want to talk a little bit about what all you've seen out there at a PR this past weekend? You got the floor with me, Stephen.
I tell you, Phoenix was interesting. Some great racing in both divisions. Got to speak with a lot of people that I haven't seen in a while. Had a nice conversation with Tony Stewart. He's doing well. One thing that's driving him buggy, and I think he's mentioned it on various occasions, is that it's like 6 weeks between the X-rays. So, you know, there's no speeding things up. It's 6 weeks. They take an X-ray, make sure he's making progress, then he's got to wait another six. But he's looking real good. He's walking straight. You'd never know he had a problem. So I was glad to see that. And there were a lot of other interesting things there. There were quite a few guys going around and around trying to get their cars to inspection, which I don't think should be happening on race day when they went through the day before without a problem. So NASCAR seeming to get a little aggravated with that. But that seems to be the nature of the beast. Everybody always tries a little bit to fudge it, but some of them went too far. We'll see what happens later on, if there's any more penalties coming out or whatever. But it was a very good race, an interesting race. The ending was nice and close, like you like them. I've had some people that complain that those two guys shouldn't have been bumping each other, and others saying that's what racing's all about. And I'm on the second camp. I don't like getting my race car beat up either, but, man, when you're going for the win, in my opinion, almost anything goes as long as you don't put the guy in a wall and hurt him. But that was some very interesting races. Had some a real nice conversation, believe it or not, with Kyle Busch's little boy. He kept trying to want to give me his binky, which his wife. As mom told me, he never shares that with anybody. So, I don't know, I think he likes me.
That sounds good, Reverend Joe. Glad you and Miss Betty had a blast out there on the West Coast swing. Yet again, thank you for being the official reverend of Stephen Wilson. Reverend Joe, let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media and your website, bud. You got the floor.
The website is ontrackwithjesus.org. And you can email me at ontrackwithjesus@aol.com. My phone number is 951-232-7630. And right now we're sitting in sunny Southern California, where it's just about 80. And we're getting ready for the California race, so we'll bring your report next week.
Reverend Joe, that sounds good. Y'all have fun. Be safe, be careful, and tell Miss Betty we said hello, Reb.
I will do that, and she sends her love.
All right. We love y'all, too. Talk to you next week, Reb.
All right. Have a good week.
Y'all, too. Okay, that's a good friend, Reverend Joe. He's out there on the West Coast doing the West Coast swing. Stephen Wilson, we got a big show again tonight. I haven't got any emails from NASCAR. Have you about any penalties or anything that they're handed down like Reverend Joe was talking about? I haven't seen anything, which I've been busy today.
No, not yet. Usually on this West Coast swing here, we've been getting them fairly late into Wednesday. So haven't gotten anything yet. So if anything comes out, it'll probably be there probably tomorrow at this point.
Okay. And just to let our listeners know, sometimes Stephen will agree, sometimes NASCAR, a bunch of times they send the penalties down on Tuesdays after race weekend, but sometimes it takes two Wednesdays. But the number to call in is 215-383-3681, and I'll go ahead and start off with the NASCAR Xfinity Series at Phoenix International Raceway. The 12th annual Exalta, Faster, Tougher, Brighter 200, your race winner was Kyle Busch, age 30. Team number 18, Knott's Energy Drink Toyota owner J.D. Gibbs, crew chief Chris Gale. Kyle Busch won the 12th annual Exalta, Faster, Tougher, Brighter 200, his 79th victory in 314 NASCAR Xfinity Series races. This is his third victory and third top 10 finish in 2016. This is his ninth victory and 16th top 10 finish in 20 races at Phoenix International Raceway. Eric Jones finished second. Posted his fourth top 10 finish in four races at Phoenix International. It is his third top 10 finish in 2016. Daniel Suarez finished third. posted his second top 10 finish in three races at Phoenix International Raceway. Eric Jones, second, was the highest finishing rookie. Daniel Suarez leads the point standings by 8 points over Elliott Sadler. Steven, if we can, let's see what Kyle Busch had to say in the media center at Phoenix International Raceway.
Okay, we're going to hear now from our race-winning team in today's 12th annual Exalta Faster, Tougher, Brighter 200 NASCAR Xfinity Series race here at Phoenix International Raceway. Our race winner is Kyle Busch. He drives the number 18 NOS Energy Drink Toyota for Joe Gibbs Racing. He's joined by his crew chief, Chris Gale, and also by Vice President of Xfinity Operations at Joe Gibbs Racing, Steve D'Souza. Congratulations, gentlemen. The third straight race weekend that Joe Gibbs Racing has been victorious in the NASCAR Xfinity Series and also continues to pace that series with a strong fleet of cars and strong performance overall. Kyle, we'll hear from you first. Just talk about the performance out there today, your ninth win at Phoenix in the NASCAR Xfinity Series, your 79th career win in the series. Just talk about, you know, being able to do that. I know it never gets old because you love to win, but just talk about the win here today.
Yeah, it certainly never does get old, but, you know, there was a lot of good things that had come of this weekend, just having the opportunity to work with Chris Gale and, of course, to get a chance to be out there on the racetrack with this different tire than what we've run here the past couple times, which is the same tire that we're going to run tomorrow on the Cup side. So lots of things to learn, and, you know, felt like a good day, obviously, just being able to have a good race car run up front. We may not have qualified on the pole, but, you know, we did have a good race car. So real proud of the effort by Chris and everybody on this NOS Energy Drink team. Guys did a great job. Our Toyota was fast. So, you know, not much to complain about, really. Besides, my teammates probably just ran me too hard and gave me a fit there up front. You know, it may not have seemed like it or looked like it, but I had to run as hard as I could all day long so that there was no break in that car. You know, it was just full out all the time.
Let's hear now from crew chief Chris Gale. And Chris, continue to be impressive with this race team. Just talk about the performance this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we didn't qualify quite where we wanted. Obviously, we wanted to sit on the pole. But I thought this weekend for us was a good shot where I don't think we were the best car in practice. I think the 20 was probably a little bit better, maybe even the 19. We kind of got behind on tires. We had a flat and didn't spend a long time on one set of tires and then kind of didn't show the speed we needed to in practice. We made some adjustments late last night, this morning, and I think it showed today. We had a good race car all day, and I think it's, you know, Kyle may not say it, but I think it adds to some credibility for all of us to where he can know he can walk away, and he may not have the best car on Friday evening in practice, but he'll have something good to race with, and I think that was a good display for the team.
And, Steve, again, congratulations to your racing team and organization. Just talk about how things are really clicking right now for the Joe Gibbs Racing.
Well, what an awesome day for these guys and for the past few weeks for them. And I think it's particularly gratifying when we look at the organization as a whole and how we're working together, Chris with all the crew chiefs, and Kyle with Eric and Daniel, you know, each week that he talks to them and he coaches them, and I'm sure that's going to stop one day if they beat him. But for right now, you know, he's a great asset to the team, great team partner and coach and the guys, and they really respect him. And obviously they've got to race hard to try and beat him. And I think internally at our shop, everybody's working so hard, the engine shop, fab shop, everybody. It's just a group effort, and everybody's putting in 100%, and the dividends are paying off, and really proud of them.
And you touched on a good point. Eric Jones was just in here a few minutes ago. He said he would not be performing as well as he is if it wasn't for Kyle Busch pushing him and those types of things. We'll take questions now. We'll start here with Reed, and then we'll go to Kenny.
I'm Reed Spencer with NASCAR Wire Service. Kyle, I think Eric caught you in traffic with about 30 to go, raced you side by side, but you both still had a pit stop coming up. Fair to say that the decisive moment was that stop where you came in together and gained about 2 or 3 seconds on the racetrack.
Yeah, I think that was a moment in the race that you can either gain a lot or lose a lot in a very short period of time. So, you know, we had a really good short run car, I guess, because I could kind of get out for a little ways. And then in that long, long run that we had there, I mean, what was that, 80 laps or so? And a couple moves that I had to make in order to get past some of the lap cars that were running side by side, I just burnt my front tires up. And I couldn't ever get them back underneath me, and Jones had been pressuring me for about 10 laps there, and finally he was close. He was probably about another lap or two from going by me, and we needed to pit. I just wore my stuff out too much, and then fortunately it was time to get to pit road anyways, and when I did, I waved real late just to make sure that he knew I was coming and wouldn't run me over, and it was soon enough where he made his way to pit road as well behind me. And, you know, with the way everything happened on pit road, I'm not sure how his stop was compared to ours or anything like that. But obviously we got a bit of a gap after the stop, and I just ran as hard as I could to make sure that I maintained that gap and didn't let him close on me in case he had another good, 20-lap run car or whatever and was going to gain on me. So all in all, it was a fun race, I thought. You know, it was pretty interesting, and I enjoyed NASCAR letting the races go long like that because it gives an opportunity to see some of that action that plays back and forth a little bit, and having green flag stops, that's something that I don't think these guys get a whole lot of, and it's nice to see that Eric Jones was as successful as he was at it.
Kenny Bruce?
Chris and Steve, without Kyle in the car, what do you guys lose if he's not there as far as an organization?
Well, obviously what he does is benchmark our division, helps with our drivers, obviously training them up, and they are the future of NASCAR, these younger guys, and to, you know, clearly get to the bottom line is they've got to run well so they can have an opportunity to get a good sponsorship, which is what we need, obviously, going forward. And so Kyle's a tremendous assistance in all that. And so without that, we could get lost very easily because the younger guys sometimes just don't know what they need. They're very good in defining what the car needs, but sometimes they need a little more help than that. And that's where Kyle's such a huge asset to all of us, the crew chiefs. When we're building the cars, he can contribute a lot of information there. So it's vital, I think, to the success of not only Joe Gibbs Racing, but also as we try to develop young drivers, too. He's a huge part of that.
Yeah, I would say from the crew chief standpoint.
And Steven, that was Kyle Busch in the media center there at Phoenix Country, one of the NASCAR Xfinity Series races out there. If I can, Steven, before you go into the Cup side of stuff, I want to do a racing report. The Benedetto and Ragum bring home top 25 finishes. Matt Benedetto, driver number 83. Schuster System Toyota Camry finished in the 20th position on Sunday. In the fourth race of the 2016 NASCAR Sprint Cup Series season at Phoenix International Raceway. Teammate David Reagan, driver of number 23, Dr. Pepper Toyota Camry, finished in the 24th position. Quote, unquote, "I'm proud of everyone at BK Racing," said to Benedetto, "following a good Sam 500 for both David and I to bring home top 25 finishes shows effort that Ron Devine, the team owner, put into the team over the offseason. We're working hard to bring home better results each week, and this finish will give our team a confidence boost to head into Autopro Speedway." Quote, "We had a solid weekend with a Dr. Pepper Toyota," Reagan said. "We had a great long run speed and made the car better during the race. Overall, we need to continue to improve our speed and handling, but today was a sign of progress." The Benedetto took the green flag for the 312-lap race in the 23rd position after advancing to the second round knockout qualifying on Friday evening. Teammate David Reagan started a good Sam 500 at 29th position. In the early stages of the race, Benedetto reported to the crew chief Gene Mead that the Schuster System Toyota was very tight and he was working on adjusting his track bar. Battling similar handling issues, Reagan and crew chief Patrick Donahue worked on dialing in the Dr. Pepper Toyota throughout the race. As the race went into overtime following a caution with 6 laps to go, the Benedetto and Reagan battled hard to maintain their positions to bring home top 25 finishes for the team. Good week for BK Racing, Steve.
Yeah, definitely. Sorry. Yeah, I got this thing in co-hosting mode again this week, and I always forget. I put this thing in mute when you've got this thing on, and I need to learn to stop doing this because you sit there and talk, and then I forget to take it off on mute sometimes. Sorry about that.
You're fine, bud. You're fine. Hey, Stephen, let us know what all went on out there. Well, that's kind of Sprint Cup Series. It's Phoenix International Raceway, bud. It was an awesome finish.
Oh, it definitely was in the Good Sam 500 out there. Kevin Harvick went into 12th annual Good Sam 500 in the margin of victory that now is the record of 1/100th of a second over Carl Edwards out there. It beats the previous record, which was held by Ryan Newman, beating Jeff Gordon by 13/100th of a second in 2010 at Phoenix International Raceway. This is Kevin Harvick's 32nd victory in 542 NASCAR Sprint Cup Series races and his first victory in four top 10 finish in 2016. It's also his 8th victory and 16th top 10 finish in 27 events at Phoenix International Raceway. You might as well just call him the king of the desert out there, because everybody's trying to figure out how to beat Kevin Harvick at Phoenix International Raceway. I believe he's won something about like the 6 of the last 7, if I'm correct, 5 of the last 7, something like that. So, yeah, he's the king of the desert most definitely out there, and he's the one to beat out there. Carl Edwards, obviously, as I just said, he finished second out there, posting his 13th top 10 finish in 24 races in Phoenix International, and his third top 10 in 2016. Danny Hamlisch finishing third out there, 12th top 10 finish in 22 events at Phoenix. And Chase Elliott was your highest finishing rookie, finishing 8th. Kevin Harvick and Kyle Busch both are tied at the top of the point standings, leaving out of Phoenix and heading into Fontana, California this weekend.
Stephen, let's listen to a little bit of what Kevin Harvick had to say in the media center out there at Phoenix International Raceway.
Okay, we're going to hear from our race winner. Our race winner is Kevin Harvick, and he drives the number 4 Jimmy John's Chevrolet for Stuart Haas Racing. Kevin, 8 wins here at Phoenix International Raceway. You're the all-time leader in the Sprint Cup Series at this racetrack. You're 32 career wins, won 5 out of 6 here at Phoenix, and that margin of victory, .010, is the closest in the history of this racetrack, tied for 7th closest in the history of Sprint Cup Series since the advent of electronic
scoring. I got a few in that category.
Yes, you do. So,
why we need to make it so dramatic.
Congratulations. Talk about this win and you know, everything that went into the last few laps, the strategy, what you're thinking, of course, what Rodney's thinking, and then how you raced there at the end.
Well, I guess we can start with the end. I had no idea that the cars behind me had 2 tires. I never asked. I just figured I was going to be on defense regardless, just for the fact that I don't even know who was third, but, you know, everybody wants to win a race, and you know, especially at these corners where you have the high braking situations, you're pretty vulnerable. So, you know, I probably went a little bit too much on defense just for the fact that, you know, if I got hit, I wanted to be able to drive out of the slide instead of wind up with the fuel cell into the wall. So, I made it, you know, I think that the theory was after talking to Rodney, was definitely to stay in control of the race, because the restarts can get a little bit hectic as you get into turn 1. So, you know, I got a good restart, got through 1 and 2 good, got through 3 and 4 fairly well, and, you know, they told me that the 19 was back there. I thought I could beat him through 1 and 2 on the last lap there, but I knew I was going to have to be on defense because he beat me through the center of 3 and 4 all day, so... I was fully expecting everything that I got, but I just needed to be able to get knocked up the track far enough to be able to put the throttle back down. So maybe a little bit too defensive. I missed the bottom, you know, with the way that the rubber had built up on the racetrack. It just kind of walked up the track, and he was able to hold the bottom and able to get to the left rear. And, you know, I felt like I got back to the throttle even, you know, soon enough to be able to hold him off. But I was kind of, a couple feet behind and was able to kind of scrub against his door a little bit to slow him back down. And by the time he had realized that you know, he was going to be behind and we had carried the momentum by him, we were at the start-finish line. So fun finish. You know, I think as drivers and as a sport, that's –
that's really the benefit, one of the benefits of the low downforce package and the tire situation. The tire situation, you know, being the biggest thing is so you have those different strategies with the late cautions to where you have two tires, you have no tires, you probably have four tires, I'm sure, to have the comers and goers and the exciting finishes. So that is exactly what we're all looking for finishes and strategy as you look at the low downforce and the soft tires.
Thank you, Kevin. We'll take a few questions. We'll start here with Reed and then go to Tom. Go ahead right here, please. Reed and then Tom.
Reed Spencer with NASCAR Wire Service. Carl said that basically he meant to move you, but he didn't want to hit you hard enough to wreck you. I would assume that from your point of view, everything was done as it should have been today.
I would have done the same thing, you know, and that's really, after the race, that's exactly what we said to each other. You know, that's really what NASCAR racing is all about. You're coming to the checkered flag, and he wants to win for his team, and I want to win for my team, and there's a lot on the line. So, you know, it's definitely, you know, the way that things should have been done. And, you know, I fully expected it going into turn three and would have done the same thing.
Let's go to Tom, and then Jim.
Hi, Kevin. Tom Jensen, BoxSports.com. Congratulations on the victory. You know, you've been down this road with Rodney before on the tire call at Homestead when you won the championship. When the race is on the line, do you totally trust him, or do you guys have back and forth on it? And
I never asked today. You know, it's just, and I never asked at Homestead, you know, the year we won the championship. I just, you know, Rodney and I talked about that before we ever ran a race. You know, unless there's something wrong, I don't have the type of information that he and Dax have sitting up on top of that pit box. And, you know, losing control of the race and putting yourself in traffic is, you know, it's a tough spot to be in, because we've lost a lot of races, you know, dominate races, and what happens is the field is just waiting to see what you do. They're going to do the opposite. You know, that's 9 times out of 10 when you dominate those days, which we have a lot over the past 2.5 years or 2 years, whatever you want to call it. You know, we've been in a lot of these situations to where we've lost races just because, you know, the strategy just doesn't work out. But when you have half the field that's on the lead lap do the opposite of what you do, well, that's just what they're going to do. You know, if we pit right there, half the field stays out. And that's, you know, we're just in that type of position. And I'm glad we're in that position, because our cars are fast, and that's the only way they're going to beat us on days like that when it's all going well. And it was just better for us to keep control of the race than it was to put it in somebody else's hand and hope you get a good restart.
We'll go to Jim and then to Mike Embry and Bob Pockris.
Jim Utter, Motorsport.com. Rodney was talking about there were some things, I think he said, in practice and qualifying and even one time in adjustment in this race where he tried things that have worked for you guys in the past that didn't work this weekend. I wondered, as someone who has won here multiple times and in many fashions, in driving this race today with this package and driving the track, did you find that it did things differently than you have experienced?
Yeah, there wasn't much. There wasn't, you know, other than the guys on the team, there wasn't much that was the same. You know, I felt like Friday we were okay. I felt like we were pretty good in race trim. I felt like our qualifying runs in practice were good, and we got to qualifying and couldn't even drive it. It was so loose. So, you know, that happened last week at Las Vegas as well. So there's just a different thought process with the, you know, you take 30% of the downforce off the car, things are just going to be different. You know, we haven't been that close to really anything that we've run. So winning this race is going to allow us to really start to hone in on characteristics, different things, that because it's going to be different. You know, we have a new race engineer that we also have to add into that mix with Dax, who's done a great job, but he was out at Atlanta. You know, that's one race that we didn't even – he was sick. Last week I was useless. You know, just didn't really even want to make a lap in the car, let alone race the car. So we've had a couple of speed weeks was fine, but you know, I think as you look at the last 2 weeks, everything's just felt out of sync. There's so much different. We've had pieces missing. We got our jackman back today, who's, you know, he was out with surgery. Felt like the pit stops were great today. So there's just been a lot of things that have happened that we've just you know, just felt clunky to me. just for not anything in our control, just because of circumstances. But I think that's the great part about our team is we're able to overcome things like that. We've still been competitive every week, you know, but it hasn't been like today. You know, we didn't qualify well, but, you know, we've qualified 12th, 18th, 16th, 17th, whatever it's been. We're either on the pole or we're in that neck of the woods when it comes to qualifying. It's just a hard place to qualify and get it all right. So we've had a lot of circumstances that we've had to overcome. So winning today is really going to allow us to really hone in on what are the characteristics of the mile-and-a-half tracks, what are the characteristics of the flat tracks, you know, allowing Dax to get up to speed and you know, really understand all the tools that are different from everything that he had at Michael Waltrip Racing for the last however many years. So there's just a lot of things that we still have to work through. And our team is, you know, we've had to overcome some different things, but there's a lot of teams that have to do the same. Every team has to do the same thing because I don't feel like anybody really knows exactly where we need to be because it's a totally different mentality, you know, in practice right now. You know, it's not about how fast you go. It's really about how long can you go fast, and really working with that graph and trying to get the fall off in the car to stay where it needs to be. So it reminds me of where we were, you know, 12, 15 years ago when we would practice. It wasn't who was the fastest. It's who could go fastest the longest.
Let's go to...
And Stephen, just to touch on a little bit about what we... I'm probably... What's the saying? I'm probably putting the cart before the horse, but you and I always talk about it. As of last year, you know, we always talk about it. We've had four races. We've had four different winners. What are we looking at, bud? What do you think?
You know, it's really hard to tell right now because we've been on really four different styles of racetracks at this point. You know, we've been on, you know, Daytona, which has been a 2.5 mile super speedway. We've been on Atlanta, which is a 1.5 mile, really worn out 1.5 mile racetrack. We've been on Las Vegas, which is 1.5 mile, but a much smoother, much nicer, a better racetrack that has not been worn out as bad. And then we've been to Phoenix, which is a 1 mile racetrack. And now we go to the fifth style racetrack, which is a two mile racetrack on DCA Oval this weekend, which has the potential for somebody else to win out there this weekend. You know, we're seeing different winners every week out there. And as these teams start to learn a little bit more about the package, a little bit more about the car and the aero and the way that they work at each of these different tracks out there, I think a lot of the notes that we've seen in the past, especially at some of these racetracks, are really just going out the window. It's hard for these teams, I think, to really get a complete grasp on the car themselves and what they're going to do with these particular tracks, which is really, as the drivers are saying, it's putting the car back in their hands and not necessarily the engineer's hands. And I think that's a good thing. So it makes a lot of unknowns when we get to some of these racetracks. And, you know, I don't know when it really comes down to it. When we get to Richmond in September, how many we're going to have. You know, we could have 15, we could have 16. I'm not even sure at this point. I'm sure we're going to have some repeat winners. How many is going to be when we get down to, you know, 26 races in at Richmond in September? I'm not even sure. You know, I would likely say the number is probably going to be in that 15 to 16 mark. Maybe a little bit less, but I would like to think that, you know, we're on track somewhere along in there, maybe just by the way that it's looking right now. And I could be completely wrong at this point. I mean, we may only have like 12 different winners or 13 different winners, but, you know, we really have a car right now that, you know, these drivers are having to work for every win that they're getting. I mean, we saw at Atlanta, these drivers were just really tired and really just worn out. But, you know, as we go to see each of these racetracks and each different style of racetrack, it really suits a different driver and a different race style. And especially this weekend at Auto Club Speedway, we've got Brad Keselowski, and this is a Penske track that was designed and built by Penske. So Keselowski is a defending winner out there, and he's won out there before. So obviously we could have another winner out there again this weekend, making it the fifth winner of the season.
I would definitely agree, Steve. I mean, you know, last year or the past couple of years, you know, you and I have talked about, and social media blows up too. Everybody wants to know, are we going to have 16 different winners? But I will agree, with this new rules package that NASCAR has implemented, I mean, you know, I don't know if we're going to have as many repeat winners as we have had in the past. But, I mean, you know, I would definitely agree. I think we're looking more toward more of a, what am I trying to say? Not multiple winners, but different winners. But I'm like you. I don't think we'll see 16. But like you, we don't know yet. The shrew package and everything, it's really young. So we'll just have to wait and see, Steve.
Yeah, I think we will. I mean, we're going to see a lot of different styles of racetracks just coming up throughout the circuit coming up in the next couple of weeks. I mean, we're going to get to Martinsville. This is going to totally change the game here in a couple of weeks. We could potentially have another winner out there, another repeat winner. It's a track where Jimmy Johnson is obviously good at. But, you know, we'll just have to see as the season goes on.
Yeah, sounds good, Steve. And I assume we have our bottom of the hour guest. We have president of Auto Club Speedway, Mr. Dave Allen. Let's bring Mr. Dave Allen in the pit stop with Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Dave, how you doing tonight, buddy? Tim.
I'm good, man. Thanks. That's a heck of an introduction there.
You're welcome, Dave. We always bring everybody in. And I want to thank you for we met you in, I think it was Richmond last year, Stephen and I, and my wife Suzanne and Anne-Marie. And thank you for agreeing to come on the show. We got a big race coming out the final swing of the West Coast.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. We're excited to be the third leg of the West Coast swing, and we've got beautiful Southern California sunny weather forecasted for it. And you know, I think it's going to be a heck of a weekend. You know, we're going to kick it off on Thursday night with a St. Paddy's Day Fan Fest and get the party started that way, and then of course roll into the weekend, and we'll have qualifying 511 Tactical Pole Day on Friday, and Saturday with the Xfinity, and Sunday with the Auto Club 400. So looking forward to a fast, competitive race.
That sounds good, Dave. And I'm going to throw you over to Stephen. I'm going to step aside a minute. I got to make a pit stop. I'm going to throw you over to Stephen Wilson, CEO of Speedway Digest, Tucson.
Sounds good.
Well, Dave, I appreciate you taking the time to come on. As Tim was saying, we got to meet you last year, and it was actually at Darlington. We got to meet you with Dennis from Richmond. And,
yep.
Great having you on to talk a little about the Auto Club 400 that you got going on this weekend out there. You know, as Auto Club Speedway over the last couple of years has obviously, the track is worn in. We've gotten to see some great racing out there, and you've been around Auto Club Speedway for quite some time, going all the way back to the Penske days, and you've been able to see the track as it's slowly gone through a lot of changes over the years. You know, we've got a new downforce package obviously coming on this year that's going to change the style of racing out there. But when you start looking at this weekend and the package and everything that has changed over your career at Auto Club Speedway, what are you most looking forward to when it comes to this weekend out there?
Well, you know, you summed it up pretty good. Change is always good. You know, sometimes it's hard to take change for some folks, whether it be what we're doing here at the racetrack or you know, with the event itself or what's happening with the cars on the track itself. So, you know, taking the downforce off here is interesting. You know, the track has aged. You know, everybody likes to use that word character, and I think it does have character. You know, the seams and the bumps in the track have really created for good racing. So I think with the lower downforce package, you know, they may be carrying more speed down the straightaways, but we'll see how the cars handle going through the corners. You know, I'm just a race promoter. I'm not, that'll be for the teams to figure out, but I'm sure that they will figure it out. They'll have a good time. You know, a lot of the drivers have been saying this is ranks as one of their top three funnest places to go to now. You know, and I think arguably over the last couple of years, we could make an argument that we had the race of the year. So I really am looking forward to the race. I think that's obviously the marquee thing that we're looking forward to here with the Auto Club 400. And there's no reason why you're not going to see more five-wide racing here at in excess of 200 miles an hour. So, you know, I really think it's going to be a lot of fun for the drivers, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun for the fans.
You know, as NASCAR has continued to come to Southern California over the many, many different decades out there between Ontario, Riverside, and now to Auto Club Speedway, you know, Southern California really does have a car culture that has spanned many different generations out there, and Auto Club Speedway is really no exception to the role out there. you guys just put together such a package program out there that spans not only just the 400 that you're going to run this weekend, but you have so many other events that are running at your speedway throughout the year. You know, when you culminate throughout your events through the year, and obviously this is a marquee event for you, and you come from a lot of corporate sales and director of marketing, things like that, that you've been at through your career. How do you, as now, obviously, as the promoter and president that was since 2014 out there, how do you look at the Speedway and position it into the future out there in Southern California?
Well, I thank you for summing it up so well. I think we benefit from where we are, you know, as it relates to location. The track, you know, is really a place. We've got a lot of space. You know, we're a 568-acre facility, so we've got a lot of space to do things. And sometimes finding space to do things, you know, if you get creative and have the budget to do something, it's just finding the space to do it here in Southern California. So, you know, we are very diversified when it comes to motorsports events here. You know, we've got driving schools with exotics, driving schools if you want to come drive your dream car. We've got karting, we've got drag racing, we've got STCA, we've got pretty much every club you can think of comes and runs here at Auto Club Speedway, whether it be on the road course or the oval or the drag strip. Of course, we film a lot of movies and commercials. We've got new car introductions. Auto Club of Southern California is here a lot, testing cars and doing write-ups in Westways magazines. So there's a ton of activity happening here. We do other events. Cardenas Supermarkets does an event here throughout the year. We're going to be doing a LLS event, which is the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society Light the Night Walk in October. So we're a lot more than the NASCAR race, but obviously our focus right now is that. And it's really something we've always strived to make sure we create a festival type atmosphere. And I still get people that ask me, hey, you know, why do I want to go to a racetrack and watch cars go in circles for 400 miles? Well, you know, that's the culmination of the weekend is the race, obviously. But even if you're not a race fan, there's no better place to people watch than Auto Club Speedway. You know, there's great things to see, great things to eat. You know, lots of stuff to do. You know, our concerts. You're going to see a lot of Hollywood here as well. It's just there's something for everybody, and you know we're very family friendly. Got a lot of kids in the kids club. We ran through about 155,000 kids in our reading challenge this year, so we've got a very robust kids club, and we try to provide something for everybody, and I think we're going to do that this weekend.
And just getting back on the NASCAR topic, because I'm just trying to hit a broad spectrum of topics with you with Auto Club Speedway, because you guys do so many different things out there that I'm just trying to hit on so many different things with you, and could probably have a half an hour or, you know, an hour long conversation with you on this. But,
yeah.
You know, obviously getting back to the Auto Club 400 and which you just announced a new sponsorship or a sponsorship that's going to be with the Xfinity series that's going to run on a Saturday out there. But with the two series running out there, obviously with the West Coast wing, that's going to bring in a lot of stars out there with NASCAR. You know, you've put together so many different packages. You're putting together so many different entertainment events, not only inside of the track, but outside of the track. How do you continue as a race promoter and as a president of the racetrack to continue that with the race fans and bring those, as you just said, to bring those into the track and not only use the entertainment factor inside the track or outside of the track, but also to bring the younger generation, which is obviously lacking in some respects, to get them to the track and get them to a live event to watch racing or NASCAR in general?
Yeah, I think we could talk for a long time about that, but you know, I grew up in a racing family. I was exposed to the sport at a young age, and I think nowadays, you know, our TV partners do such a fantastic job of broadcasting the race and educating people about what's going on. It's just getting them interested, and our reading program has been fantastic to make that connection with kids through reading. We've got some great stories of kids who are struggling with reading, and through the connection with motorsports and cars, they've created a new interest in reading and are reading more. You know, and as the kids get older in our kids club, it's educating them and letting them know how many opportunities exist within our sport for jobs, whether it be marketing, public relations, broadcasting, you know, engineering, you name it. There's a lot of job opportunity within our sport. So, you know, it's important to continue to cultivate new race fans, and while we still provide a product that caters to the fans that have been with us for a long, long time. And I think it's something that we do race in and race out. It is hard from race to race to come up with new and exciting ideas, and I don't know that there really are any new ideas. It's just ideas that we're tweaking on. Usually someone has done it somewhere at some time at some point in life, and we pick it up and do it again. But, you know, this race is no different. We've got a roller rink in the infield. We've got a skateboard pump track in the infield, which kind of speaks to a lower, younger generation there. So we've got new activities happening there. You mentioned our title sponsor with Xfinity, which is treatmyclot.com 300. So, you know, there's a lot going on, and we just hope that people pick up the phone and then, you know, call us up or log on to autoclubspeedway.com and buy tickets to the event and get out and watch what we're doing here. So it's a pretty affordable package, you know, to get in at, for $45 at our entry-level ticket right now. Free parking, which is unheard of here in Southern California. You know, to have a day full of entertainment for $45 is pretty cool. And kids 12 and under on Friday and Saturday are actually free. So we've tried to make it as affordable as possible. We realize that, you know, people have choices, and they have a lot of choices here in Southern California. And we appreciate them spending their money and coming and seeing us on race weekend.
Well, Dave, I appreciate you taking the time, and I'm going to throw you back over to Tim. I'm sure he's got a question or two before we let you out of here tonight. Again, I appreciate you taking the time to come on here, and good luck throughout the weekend with your Auto Club 400 and Treat Your Club 300 this weekend.
All right, man. Thank you. I appreciate the support of you and your listeners. Take care.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Stephen. Dave, if I can, I want to touch on, you know, Stephen and I, we've been talking about the new aero package that NASCAR has put down on these the new low downforce deal. I think it was 2005, and the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, the qualifying record for one lap was 188, some change or whatever. In the NASCAR Xfinity Series, the qualifying record was back in 05 also. I think Tony Stewart run it at 185 and some change also. Do you think we could possibly see a new track record at Auto Club Speedway this weekend?
You know, I don't know. I'm a race promoter, so I can't profess to know what these teams know and the engineers, but I have been around racing a long time. I do understand the racetrack and the surface, you know, with the lower downforce, as everybody's been talking about, you may see some faster straight line speeds down the straightaway, but the cars are probably going to be a little bit more of a handful going through the corners. So, you know, I don't know if that's going to affect the middle of the corner and coming off or what, but These teams are so smart, and they're so quick to adjust to the rules that I think they'll get a handle on it pretty quick. And I do think they're going to have a lot of fun. You know, the drivers that enjoy a loose race car and like hanging it out there are going to have a ball. I have no doubt about it. So I think that's just going to translate to better racing, which here, if it's going to get better on top of what we've been doing, I'm really, really excited to see how it comes out this weekend on both Saturday and Sunday. So, track surface is looking good. You know, we got the seams, we got the bumps, and got that character working for us. So we're gonna keep plugging along and hopefully producing great races.
And Dave, also, do you have any specials for veterans or anything, or kids, you know, young, under such an age, if you want to throw out there, what are your specials you got going for this weekend as far as ticket pricing and the concert stuff? I don't know if Stephen touched on the concert stuff, but you got the floor,
yeah.
Dave.
Yeah, I mean, the entry point getting into the races is pretty affordable. You know, it's all relative to everyone, which I understand, but, you know, kids 12 and under are free on Friday and Saturday. And on Sunday, our tickets start at $45. We did have military packages, and we had some other driver affinity packages, but those expired on the, I believe it was the 10th, those expired. But as we get into race week here, there's still tickets available. You know, if people log on to autoclubspeedway.com or call 1-800-944-RACE, they can go ahead and see what's out there and shore up the best tickets that they see fit for them. So it's a day full of entertainment, you know, or a weekend full of entertainment. We got a lot of things happening here with concerts, with Switchfoot. We've got the Viva La Fiesta area. We got Lucha Libre wrestlers. We got stuff for the kids, bubble rollers, face painting. We got all kinds of things. So we're looking forward to having a good time.
Sounds good, Dave. And again, the phone lines have lit up. Do you have time to take one caller, Dave, before we let you go?
Yeah. Yeah, sure. No problem.
Okay. This is my good friend from upstate New York. His name's Todd Bigby. His home track is Watkins Glen. Let's bring Todd in the pit stop Tim Despain, Stephen Wilson, as president of.
And at once.
Todd, are you there, bud?
Hello.
Hey, Todd, what's up?
How are you?
I'm good, Todd. How you doing? What's going on? What's going up? Going on in Watkins Glen?
Well, right here in upstate New York, we're tapping trees and doing saps.
That sounds like fun. I don't know if I know how to do that, though, from a Southern California guy.
Hey, I had never done it until this year, and I've been learning quite a bit. It's really easy.
Well, if it's easy, I might be able to do it.
Yeah, I'll bet it's almost easier than you doing your job, and, you know, you might switch.
What's happening? How long have you been a race fan?
I have been a race fan since 95.
Okay, all right.
And I've been very fortunate in the past 2 years to go and work with Xfinity teams.
Well, good for you. Are you gonna come out and see us in California one of these days, or are you gonna watch it live on Fox?
Well, this year I have to watch it live, you know, at home. But hopefully next year I can try to plan some of them West Coast races. So this year we're doing the East Coast. So with any luck next year, I'll be able to get out a little further and do a little further traveling.
Well, good deal, good deal. We've had two good races at Las Vegas and Phoenix. Obviously, with the finish at Phoenix last weekend was spectacular, and I think we'll be in for a good one. Probably a little bit faster speeds, obviously, with a bigger track here, and we'll have a good race on Sunday for you for live on Fox as you watch it there. But we'll have a good crowd here live as well.
Well, I'm looking forward to being able to see it at your guys' facility and. Some great racing.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate your call, and thanks for being a fan.
Well, thank you guys for having me, and good luck for this weekend.
All right, you take care.
Thank you.
How's our good friend upstate New York, Todd Bisbee? Dave, he calls in every week. Love race, love race. Anyway, I know we've kept you longer than we should, Dave, but let everybody know where they can follow Work up Speedway and everything on social media, and whatever you want to talk about this weekend, you got the floor, bud, before we let you go.
Well, no, I think we've hit most of it, but I appreciate you taking the time. It's always good to talk to you guys. I do remember meeting you in Darlington, and maybe we'll see you at a race down the road. But thank you, and thank you to your listeners, and hopefully if people have questions or want to see what we're doing, just log on to autoclubspeedway.com, and that's got everything on there. So hopefully we'll see them in person, if not this year, maybe next year.
That sounds good, Dave. I went to Vegas back in 09, but I plan on coming back out on the West Coast soon.
Good deal. We'll be waiting.
All right, see you, bud. Take care.
All right, bud, take care. See ya.
Yes, sir. Okay, that's good. I'll close Speedway, Mr. Dave Allen. Steven, before we coming up at the top of the hour, we got Travis Raff Fenway and an Astro Extended Series, Mr. Ryan Reed. Let's take a little quick break, Steven, and catch up. Get your breather, pay some bills. Number to call in is 215-383-3681. You're live from Talladega, Alabama, with Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson.
She couldn't keep from crying when she told me goodbye. But I knew, Lord, it was breaking her heart, that she was breaking mine. So for the sake of her feelings and the sake of my pride, I told her not to worry about me. So I'm sitting here soaking up the neon light, misery, looking for some company. And tonight I'm looking for a party crowd, slamming them back and laughing out loud, where the smoke's so thick the blues can't. Heck's my truck.
take my keys and lock them up tight. Let the good times flow, and I worry about tomorrow when it comes to light. The night's still young, and I'm on the road tonight. I'm looking for a party crowd, slamming them back, laughing out loud with the smoke so thick, them blues can't hang around. With the jukebox jumping like it just don't care if they're dancing over here or fighting over there, I'm making the rounds, looking for
Here comes the speed. Here comes the rumble. Here comes the crowd. Here comes the Auto Club 400 weekend, March 18th to 20th. 3 full days of intense NASCAR action.
3 car breakaway up at the front.
Plus live music, extreme stunt shows, and more. Here comes the room. For tickets and more information, visit AutoClubSpeedway.com or call 800-944-RACE.
You're back live from Talladega, Alabama, in the pit stop. Tim Spain and Stephen Wilson. Stephen, waiting on time for our guest. Stephen, we talk a lot about this new low downforce package. I mean, and we've had a lot of close finishes here lately. I think I brought it up earlier before Dave Allen, president of Autocross Speedway, come on, and we talked about, you know, the winners. You know, are we going to have 16 and all that and whatever? But I totally forgot about the NASCAR Xfinity Series chase and the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series has a chase also this year.
Yeah, something that they've both brought on this year is the Xfinity Series and the Camping World Truck Series have brought on a chase this year. And you take a look at both series, and if you remember me talking at the beginning of the season where I was kind of against both of them and I was kind of vocal about having that in either series, you know, one of the reasons why I really said that is that if you look back at 2015 and you only had about, I think it was about 11 or 12, maybe 13 different full-time trucks that competed in the Camping World Truck Season from start to finish.
Right.
And there was about 18 or maybe 19 different Xfinity Series cars compete from the beginning to the end in the Xfinity Series season. You know, this season there seems to be a little bit more cars that are competing, and they're competing full-time this year. I don't know if this is a direct, and don't get me wrong, I don't know if this has been because of a direct result in the change with the chase or not, but there's been multiple new teams that have evolved in both of those series. You've had additions at GMS Racing over in the Camping World Truck Series side. You've had Colleg Racing. You've had BJ Motorsports in the Xfinity Series. So you've had a lot of different seasons. I mean, a lot of different teams in both series that have evolved and have grown and have added into both of these series. So we're seeing more teams this year competing full-time. And I'm hoping that this will continue long-term throughout this entire season as we go all the way through. you know, we've seen in the past where, you know, a lot of teams will go to Daytona or they'll go to Atlanta, but then they never travel out to the West Coast. And that's where we see saw a lot of teams kind of die off. And then, you know, we would see some teams come back when they came back to the East Coast. So, you know, we're not seeing that yet. And hopefully this will continue long term, which is healthy for the sport. It's healthy for both of those series. And it's really what both of those series need if they're going to be a long term viable solution to have the chase in both of them.
Yeah, exactly. I would definitely agree. And just to throw off on this, Stephen, this come to mind. The other day, you know, Jimmy Johnson was in practice, I think it was, there at PLR, and correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, he had that hard crash going into one, and didn't nobody say what had happened, but I had heard through the grapevine that his steering wheel actually come off of the column. That's the reason he went into turn one wall so hard. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's correct. You know, he did the steering wheel did come dislodged from the steering column, which caused that wreck.
And just to let everybody know out there, Stephen, just throw this out there for our fans. You know, you and I have been to the tracks a lot of times. When they put the steering wheel on the shaft, it has a clip, and when it clicks in, they're supposed to snap. You see them all the time. They snatch back on it, and I don't know if Jimmy did not snatch back on it or if just something malfunctioned in that. Have you heard anything else on that?
No, that's pretty much the only explanation that was really given into that matter is that the steering wheel came off of that, and it is a lock clip. It's a ball-bearing lock clip, as most people aren't, as you were just describing. You know, that's really the only explanation that either Johnson or the team really gave into this matter, and really nothing else has been, you know, other than, you know, Jimmy just apologized for what had happened.
Okay. And Stephen, I want to go. I want to talk about this coming weekend, like we've always, you know, we've talked before. We just had Dave Allen on Fresh Autocross Speedway. You know, they're the only track besides Phoenix that have two races on the West Coast. And you know, NASCAR has went to the West Coast to try to get that fan drawn in. And you know, Bruton Smith owns Vegas. Bruton's been wanting a second date in Vegas for I don't know how long, ever since Vegas has been there. And everybody talks about, you know, I guess I'm talking off in the air, you know. The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, it's called Ford Championship Weekend in Homestead, Miami. That's where I'm trying to get. NASCAR is a little bit different as far as stick and ball sports. They move their Super Bowl or World Series or what have you around, and I listen to a lot of SiriusXM NASCAR, and people want to move the championship races around, and Stephen, it's not as easy as just moving everything around like that. There's so much logistics and all that stuff that goes into effect. Am I right?
Right, and that's the thing is that if you were, you know, as Dave Moody would say, if you listen to the people on SiriusXM every day, you know, the sport would have collapsed years ago. Because it's impossible to ever. It's almost impossible. Some of these people want too many changes, and none of them are possible, or very few of them are even feasible. The logistics that even go into some of this, to move a race from one date to the next, or even let's just take this down to a granular level. Let's just say it's Ford Championship Weekend. You've got the Truck Series, you've got the Xfinity Series, and you have the Sprint Cup Series. Ever since the Homestead was built, those three series have ended NASCAR season in November in Southern Florida. Ford has sponsored that race for the last several years. Ford is also a big, huge sponsor of that track, not only for the track itself, but for those three series, for those three events. Just renewed those three events just a couple of years ago in their sponsorship activation. Throw on top of that, at the beginning of 2016, that for the next 5 years, that track is guaranteed that that date will not move, therefore locking their partnerships and their other whatever activations that they have in place for the next 5 years. So not only are you just taking out the logistics of, let's say, move this from point A to point B, you now have contractual agreements in place, not only from NASCAR, but Ford, but the track and other different bodies out there that have these contracts and these various moving parts in place that would almost make it impossible to move an event from point A to point B, whether that's moving it from Homestead to Las Vegas and saying, okay, we're going to move the Las Vegas date to Homestead and the Homestead date to Las Vegas or vice versa, or however we're going to move these dates around. It just can't be done. There are so many things that have to be in many parts and pieces moving around that would have to work out, and they would all have to work out all at the same time, that it would almost make it impossible to do such a thing. It's easier for Bruton Smith to say, okay, I'm going to move a date from my track to my track, than it is for ISC to say, I'm going to move a track from ISC to SMI, because you've got two different tracks, two different race dates, too many different moving parts and pieces to have this done. And especially when you start talking about a championship race like that, that Ford has invested many, many, many years into, it's almost impossible. You're talking about moving a mountain almost at that point.
Exactly, Stephen. And I don't know if you've to our listeners, Stephen finally explained it. I mean, Dave Moody. Now, Stephen explained it just like Dave Moody on SiriusXM, and that's for telling Atlantic. There's all these callers that call in to Dave. I mean, they want to do this, want to do that. They want to put numbers in the hat, draw numbers out. I mean, you just can't do it, Stephen, because there's so much logistics, so much sponsorship, so much money. But, Stephen, undoubtedly Ryan Reed must have had something come up. I've not heard from him. So I'm going to bring Suzanne in. I'm going to bring Todd in, and we're going to make our picks for Autocross Speedway for the Cup race. So I brought Suzanne in, and I brought Todd in. And, Stephen, I think, did you win our fantasy wrestling league in Yahoo last? I can't
no.
remember who had the most points.
I won.
We'll let ladies go first. Suzanne, who are you going to pick to win this weekend at Autocross Speedway?
Well, I mean, why are you asking her? You know what it's going to be.
Yeah, dadgum 88. I don't know. She might have something different. But let's see, Stephen. What you got, Suzanne?
Let's see. I'll go with the 41.
41? You're going with Kurt Busch. Stephen. She went off on the – oh, my God. Wait a minute. Where's a button? Where's a button? Breaking news. That's the first time she's ever picked the 88, ain't it?
I don't know the last time that she's deviated off the 88 for making her pick on the week. So.
Oh, well, hey, are you near Amber Reed? Tell Amber Reed to make her pick. She can tell you we'll let Amber Reed go next.
No, I'm not near her right now, so I
okay.
don't know.
Okay. Well, I'm on since let's let Todd go next, since Todd's way up in the northeast. Todd, go ahead. Who are you gonna pick to win? I'll just stay with us with you, bud.
I am going to go with Kevin Harvick.
All right.
Ah.
Todd's got the four. Suzanne's got the four. And I'm gonna go last, Stephen, since I'm gonna let you go next, Stephen. Who you gonna pick?
I'm gonna go with Brad Keselowski, the defending winner out there.
All right, you're going with the two. Well, I've been looking at stats. Breaking news. Where's my butt at? Breaking news for TD. Breaking news. Tim DeSane is going to go with the number 48.
Motorsport. Jimmy Johnson. I've been looking at his stats. He's gonna be our first two-time winner.
Okay. He might.
He might. I bet. I've been looking at his stats. And okay, Stephen and lady and gentlemen, I haven't heard from Ryan Reed, so we're gonna go ahead and read off schedule for Auto Club Speedway. This is via MRN.com. My good buddies there, Dave Moody, Woody Kane, and Steve Post. Not gonna read everything off. Friday on the 18th, all times are Eastern, local times 3 hours behind. Current Cup Series qualifying 7:45 p.m. MRN has your radio. Fox Sports 1 has your TV. Saturday, Xfinity Series qualifying 12:15 p.m. Fox Sports 1 has your TV. Also Saturday afternoon, Xfinity Series. TreatMyClots.com. That didn't sound right. TreatMyClots.com 300. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. 4 p.m. MRN has your radio. Fox Sports 1 has your TV. And then Sunday, Sprint Cup Series. Auto Club 400. 3:30 p.m. MRN has your radio. Fox has your TV. Green flash schedule for 3:48. Stephen Woods, will let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media and your website, bud. You got the book.
You can follow us at Speedway Digest, Facebook.com/Speedway Digest, and SpeedwayDigest.com.
That sounds good. And we're going to say thank you for listening very much and good night from Talladega, Alabama. We'll see you next Tuesday night, same time.
You're unbelievable.